Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So Daniel sent me an email a little while ago. Now, okay, you guys are going, well, who's this Daniel guy you keep talking about? All right, so Daniel is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and he and I correspond back and forth, and he listens to the show, and he puts together little emails to give me thoughts from a third-party perspective. I think that's the best way to describe what Daniel does. See, what he does is he listens to the show as a member, and he starts thinking about how the Lifestyles Unlimited model has greatly affected him and caused him to be in a place of retirement. And he wants to share that good news. As a matter of fact, everybody that emails me who's a Lifestyles Unlimited member, they're full of zeal. They really are. They're full of zeal because they understand that they're doing something completely different than what they used to do, that they stepped away from the lies of society, and they're following a proven track record that makes sense. So here's what Daniel wrote. I'm just going to read to you because I really like it, and I don't think I could improve upon anything that he wrote. He says, "Hey, Al. Albert Einstein was a famous physicist who lived from 1879 to 1955. He was a pretty smart guy. And I agree with you, Daniel. He was definitely a smart dude. You would think that he would say the strongest force in the universe was gravity, or the nuclear strong force, or some other related physics type of force. But he didn't. The most powerful force in the universe, according to Professor Albert Einstein, compound interest. Yeah, compound interest. And you're thinking, compound interest? Why would Albert Einstein be focused on something that isn't science related? I mean, that's a monetary thing, right? Well, I think Einstein was smart enough to realize that he could analyze all kinds of things. He didn't have to stay in that lane of physics. He could step outside that lane of physics, and he could observe what goes on in the rest of the world. Now, you and I were taught, probably in grade school, because I remember them talking about this in grade school, something about the power of compound interest. And we were probably taught the same thing. You take your money, whatever money you have, you go with mom and dad, you go to the bank, and you put your $2 into a savings account. And that savings account is going to earn interest. And over time, that interest will pay back into the account, right? And as a result of that, you'll make more interest off of a bigger pool of money than the original amount that you had on deposit. The concept is that when you compound the interest, your money grows, and it grows exponentially. Now, if you've tried to do that in a savings account, especially nowadays, you're probably very frustrated. And here's why I know this. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I've got one account. It's got well over 100 grand in it, and I earn interest on that account. And I think it's less than a dollar every month. Yeah, so I'm not making great compound interest based on where the interest rates are right now. But there's another place that I'm making compound interest. It has to do with my real estate assets. Yeah, I am actually harnessing the concept of compound interest in my real estate assets. Because what I'm doing with my real estate assets is I am positioning them to provide excellent income streams for me. And while doing that, the properties themselves are going up in value. Yeah, they are going up in value. Now, normally I would tell you that real estate has a tendency to appreciate at about 3.5% per year, because what we know statistically at Lifestyles Unlimited is that real estate tends to double in value every 20 years. So if you use a 3.5% increase in value, that's the number you use to get to that doubling effect over a 20-year period of time. But real estate seems to be doing a little bit better than 3.5%. And I don't care where you live. I think what you're seeing is you're seeing the value of real estate go up. So what's this got to do with compound interest? Well, when you think about it, when you are effectively owning and operating a real estate asset, and the market conditions are favorable for you, which they are right now for everybody that owns real estate. Real estate is not going down in value. And as much as people thought we were going to experience a real estate crash, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening anywhere. As a matter of fact, what I'm seeing is all of this pent-up demand finally being unleashed onto the market. And I think some people get frustrated with the market because there were so many people trying to buy real estate at one given time. I mean, I'm talking about like the last 3 months. So many people in the market trying to buy. They were bidding prices up. People that really wanted to buy, desperately wanted to buy, found themselves priced out of the market, or, you know, they just weren't willing to go up that extra $2,000 or $3,000 to get the deal, so they lost the deal. Now, some people would think, well, maybe that's what you should have done. You should have gone up that extra $2,000 or $3,000 so that you could have gotten that deal. Well, I'll be honest with you. I think it depends on your buying motivation. I think if you're buying the home maybe to consume, in other words, live in it, maybe that's a good idea. But if you're buying the home specifically as an investment and your numbers are telling you that going up another couple thousand dollars is not a good thing for you, you have to respect the numbers. You have to respect the numbers, and you have to be in a position to be able to walk away from that deal or understand how an increase in price could still work for the deal. See where I'm going? All right, we come back from the break. More on compound interest.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Phew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So, legend has it that Albert Einstein once declared compound interest the eighth wonder of the world. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I really have no idea. But that concept of compound interest has been around for a long time. Now, if you're older like I am, you grew up maybe in the 70s and the early 80s, and you know what higher interest rates are like. You know what inflation feels like. And when inflation or interest rates are a little bit more robust than they are right now, things like compound interest, well, they make a little more sense. So what am I getting at? Well, when it comes to compound interest, there's actually something that is associated with compound interest, and it's called the rule of 72. And it has nothing to do with the year 1972. No, what the rule of 72 does is it allows you to determine just how long, or how quickly, I should say, it will take you to double your money based on the interest rate that your money earns. So what you do is you take You take the number, the interest rate, and you simply divide it by 72, and that will give you a result. So to give you an idea, if interest rates were 12%, now interest rates are not 12%. Interest rates have not been 12% for a very, very long time. I was a much younger man when interest rates were at a 12% rate. But if interest rates were at a 12% rate, and you put money into, let's say, a savings account that paid you 12%, you would expect your money to double in about 6 years. You heard me correctly, about 6 years. Now, if you're in an investment that is earning you, let's say, a paltry 2%, how long will it take you to double your money? And the answer is 36 years. So there is a correlation between what interest rates are doing and the doubling effect on your money. So right now, if you're a saver, and if you've been a saver for the last 20 years, you've probably found it difficult for you to double your money in the last 20 years because interest rates have been so low. And then you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't actually just save my money. I invest my money. I have that money in a 401k. And I have instructed the person that manages my 401k as to what my risk level is. And I'm actually doing a little bit better than, say, doubling my money in 36 years. I'm actually doing a lot better. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. Yeah, because there is a mechanism in there with the investment piece where, you know, they buy a stock and it goes up in price and then they sell that stock and then they reinvest that into another stock. And of course, they charge you fees for all those transactions, which dilutes your returns, by the way. But having said all of that, yeah, I could see that because I know, based on research that I did literally last week, that the S&P 500 over a 3-year period of time actually went up about 48%. But here's the crazy thing. When you're investing that way, when you're putting your money into that 401k, you're not really in control of that investment. Somebody else is controlling that investment for you. And they're doing their darndest to give you that rate of return that they said you should be getting based on the investments. I will also tell you, because of what the stock market has done over the last year and a half, 2 years, maybe 3 years, it's gone up significantly. It has, and it's kind of peaked and plateaued. I mean, that's what it looks like to me, which means it's going to do one of two things. Well, it's actually going to do one of three things. It's either just going to keep going sideways, which is kind of what it looks like it's been doing for a while, or it's going to resume its upward trend and potentially make you more money, or it's going to go down in value, in which case, hopefully, dollar cost averaging kicks in for you, and you'll buy more shares at a lower price so that when the price comes back to where it was before it went down, okay, I'm not a financial planner, but I understand how all that works. Last week, when I was talking to you about the fact that the S&P gained value over a 3-year period of time, 48%. 48%. What does that really work out to be? What's that, about 16% per year? Okay, that's actually a pretty good return when it comes to the stock market. It's better than what your financial planner told you were supposed to earn. I get that. I get that. But real estate is going to do better. It's going to do better. And it has to do with this compounding effect. And here's why. Real estate doesn't just pay you one way. It pays you five ways. Five different ways for you to make money in real estate. Now, one of them is strictly a cash flow mechanism. In other words, the money that is produced based on how you operate the property. You take all the income streams, you subtract the expenses, you pay your debts, whatever's left over is cash flow. You can't do that in your retirement account. If you could do it in your retirement account, and technically you can own real estate in your retirement account, but here's the thing, any cash flow that you make, it has to go back into that retirement account. So you can't use that money to offset your ordinary expenses in life and get you to a place of retirement in the next 5 years. Yeah, you're just going to have to blend that money back in. Here's the other thing. The other ways that we make money in real estate have to do with equity positions. Yeah, equity positions in the property. And it's really cool the way they make you money. The first one, which I think is the most important, is something that we call equity capture. See, that's when you go out and you buy an asset. And you buy it at wholesale prices. You renovate the property. And whatever your all-in cost is, to include your acquisition costs, your operating costs, and your renovation costs, when you total all that together, when that total number is below the fair market value of that property all fixed up, that's called equity capture. See, you're keeping your position in that property at wholesale pricing, yet you are commanding a retail price for that property. And with that retail price, you can put conventional financing on the property that's going to do some great things for you, especially with the interest rates where they are right now. There's a lot to unpack here. So let's do this. I'm going to cool my jets. I'm going to let you go to break and hear the commercials. And when we come back, I'm going to get into these four equity things. And technically, there's really a fifth one. And if I have time, I'll cover that one too. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about compound interest. We're talking about how real estate actually is a more effective way to take advantage of compound interest than what you've been doing your entire life. Yeah, it's just the way it is. I will tell you, when the interest rates started going down, that was good for real estate investors. That was good for individuals that wanted to buy a principal residence because the cost of money was reduced. But the trade-off for reducing that cost of money is that any money that you are investing that is supposed to earn some kind of interest return is impacted by that too. Yeah. And it has to do with the fact that when I was a kid, compound interest was, I mean, it was what everybody was talking about, because the thought was you could take your hard-earned money, you could put it in the bank, and if the bank was paying 12% interest, you could double that money in 6 years. That's kind of fast. But with today's interest rates, now we're looking at like 36 years to double your money. Yeah, that's a long time. So if your financial plan for your retirement requires you to double your money a certain number of times, and it takes 36 years to just get it done once, and the average lifespan of human beings, well, you can do the math, right? Yeah, chances are you may not be around if you're on the 36-year plan to double your money, to do it twice. Yeah, it's not very effective. But real estate is much more effective. And real estate will pay you five different ways. One way, which is a pure cash distribution, and the other four ways, which have to do with equity positions in a property. And it's with those equity positions that bolster the cash flow. Well, that's how we get it done. That's how we get it done. So the thought process is this. When you become a member and you learn how to correctly invest in real estate, and when you choose what your modality is going to be, whether you're going to be focused on the single family space, or you're going to be focused on the multifamily space, or maybe you're going to do both. I mean, I do both because I think both have certain benefits. Now, my thought is I want to eventually have all of my assets in the multifamily space. But for now, I do have some assets in the single family space. And they're actually doing extremely well because of what's going on in the marketplace, something that I don't control. See, we're seeing appreciation in pricing. And that appreciation is coming a lot faster than it normally does. Yeah, I'm actually looking at some of my own properties and realizing that 3.5% rate that I use to determine, you know, future values of my properties, it's kind of lacking. Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm actually, some of my properties, I'm using like a 5.5, a 6.5 value, because that's what the market is telling me those properties are worth. So they're going up in value so much more. Here's the other thing. If you invest in, let's say, a single family, I'm just going to stay in the single family space for right now. If you invest in single family properties, one of the things that you will learn as a Lifestyles Unlimited member is how to analyze a particular acquisition asset, determine what needs to be done to remedy that asset, do the cost analysis, make sure the numbers all work. And then if everything looks good, you buy that property and you own and operate that property. Now, one of the things that we will teach you to do is to figure out what could potentially go wrong with that property in the next 5 years. And the rationale is this. When you go in to renovate that property, you want to address everything that potentially could go wrong. Yeah, you do. And the benefit for doing that is that when your resident moves in and lives in the property, they're not going to deal with a lot of repairs because nothing's broken. And anything that is functional in that property has, based on your analysis, at least a 5-year lifespan. So chances are none of that's going to break. So that makes your life easy because you're not dealing with a bunch of maintenance calls. It makes your residents' life easy because, hey, guess what? They're not dealing with a bunch of maintenance calls because guess who has to be there to let the guy or gal in to do the repairs? Yeah, your resident, unless you've got some kind of relationship where you're going to go over there and do that. Now, I don't. It's not my house. I mean, it's my house, not my home, though. And that's kind of the way I look at it. When you consider the different ways we make money in real estate. Now, I talked about the appreciation, and that is viable. But there are other ways that we make money over time. The first thing has to do with the principal pay down. So principal pay down is a mechanism where you put a loan on the property. Now, we believe in properly leveraging our homes, because when you properly leverage your home, you're bringing in somebody that's bringing in the bulk of the money, and they're not participating in any equity growth on the property. This is why you get the best returns when you have the least amount of your own money invested in the property, and lenders are okay with that. And I'm okay with lenders being okay with that. So the kicker is this. Every month when your resident makes that rental payment to you, and you cover any expenses you might have, and then you cover your mortgage payment. When you make that mortgage payment, a portion of that payment goes towards principal, and a portion goes towards interest cost. Every month, when you make that payment, you're going to get a little bit being chipped off of that principal that you owe. So over time, that principal is going to go down in value, which turns into equity that you gain. So just to give you an idea, let's say you have a $100,000 note on a $125,000 property. If that property goes down, or I should say, if that mortgage goes down, let's just say $1,000 per year. Okay, let's just assume that's what the principal pay down is. Now you've got a $125,000 property, but you only owe $99,000 on it, just through the natural mechanics of paying that payment. Now, of course, that $125,000, especially in today's market, is going to ratchet up. It will go up, so you're getting an even bigger delta. Do you see what's going on here? Yes. And here's the key. Let's say you hold this property. You hold it for 5 years. And at the end of 5 years, you decide it's time to sell. It's time to sell the property. So over a period of time, what is going to happen is you're going to get, first of all, that equity capture that you have in the deal when you kept all of your costs at wholesale pricing, yet you were able to refinance at a retail price, you captured equity in that deal. That equity has been sitting in that deal waiting for you to utilize it. You've been paying down the principal every month. Every month that principal is going down. It is a beautiful thing. There's something else that is going on too. Do you know what it is? Think about it for a second. We've got the property values going up. We have principal being paid down. What is the other entity? What is the other equity play that could be out there? I want you to think about that for a minute, because when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you the answer and I'm going to talk to you about the tax benefits, because we haven't even gotten there yet, because there's good news there too. Stick around.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. Did you ponder the question that I left you with before the break? Did it register with you that the other kind of appreciation that's out there that I hadn't really talked about yet was something called forced appreciation? Yeah, it's forced appreciation. So if you were thinking forced appreciation, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yeah, you're on it. So if you don't know what forced appreciation is, let me just explain it to you. In the multifamily space, because of how properties are valued, they're valued as a business system. So in other words, value is created based on what somebody could buy the property for and what type of rate of return they would receive. And that's different than single family, where we use a competitive market analysis. In other words, an appraiser is going to go out and take a look at what have things been selling for in the general area. And as a result of that, they'll use that information to justify the pricing between the buyer and the seller. So as a result of that, no matter what you do in the single family space to make the numbers really great, I mean, it doesn't matter how effectively you operate a single family house, it's only going to be worth what the market says it's worth as a single family house, because you're not allowed to take the income streams into consideration. But a multifamily, completely different world. Yeah, it's the difference between commercial and non-commercial real estate. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. So multifamily apartment communities are a subset of commercial real estate, and you've got a lot of other subsets that fall into commercial real estate. You've got industrial, we don't invest in that. You have retail, we don't invest in that. You have office, we don't invest in that. There's hotel, we don't invest in that. I could tell you about all the rest of them, but it would be a waste of our time because we don't invest in those things because we understand that the bread and butter of the industry are where people live. Not where they work, not where they do other stuff. It's where they live. And that's what we focus on. So to give you an idea of what you can do with real estate, let me just flat out tell you. Earlier in the show, I mentioned to you that the S&P 500 had returned, not quite, but just under 48% over the last 3 years. But I'm looking at a real estate deal that I did an analysis on last week. And ironically, this is a property that you could buy for about $27,000. Yeah, you could buy this thing for $27,000. It's going to pay you cash flow. As a matter of fact, the numbers that I'm seeing based on my analysis is telling me this property is poised to return $460 a month in passive income. When you annualize that, you're looking at a $5,500 income stream for the year. That's like giving you and your family a $5,500 raise. Did you get a raise last year? I'm just asking a question. You maybe did, maybe didn't. I don't know. But I'm telling you here, you could go out, you could buy a property for $27,000 cash out of pocket, still be at wholesale pricing, and you would be receiving a $5,500 return. Yeah, it's basically a 20% return cash on cash. Just on the cash on cash. How long do you think it would take you to double your money doing that? Well, I mean, simple math tells you 5 years, right? It gives you an idea though, right? But that's not the only way we make money in real estate. Because there's these other mechanisms there that have to do with equity increases. So let's just break them down for you. The fact that you're going to buy this property correctly and you're going to capture equity in this property. Let me explain how that works. The property is valued at $194,000. That means all fixed up. That's what properties in this particular neighborhood are trading for. $194,000 is fair market value, all fixed up. This property is not all fixed up. This property has got a lot of issues. As a result, you're going to buy this property for $110,000. You're going to put about another $70,000 into this property through improvements and closing and holding costs and things like that. Those are normal costs of doing business. And when the dust all settles, your total all-in amount into this property is $179,000. The difference between the $179,000 that you're all in on this property and the $194,000 that it's actually worth produces $15,000 in equity capture. Yeah, so that's equity that you have in this property immediately going forward. You don't have to wait for anything else to happen. There's already $15,000 of equity in addition to the equities that you have in the property based on your $179,000 price point. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I'm probably hurting your brain a little bit, right? So keep that in the back of your mind. That's actually a 55% return on capital gains. Yeah, the fact that you're capturing $15,000 in equity for a $27,000 entry point tells you that's a 55% return right there. So you're starting to see how these returns work? Okay, so let's talk about the appreciation. Now, I'm going to run my numbers still at my 3.5%. I know the market is doing better, but I'm still going to go 3.5%. I'm only going to do 3 years on this property. I'm only going to do 3 years because I made the comparison to the S&P 500 over the last 3 years doing 48%. I do want to point out that just on the equity capture alone, we've already beaten the S&P 500. Do you understand that? A 55% return on equity capture on return on capital gain is better than a 3-year soak in the S&P 500. Okay, it doesn't stop there. I believe this property will go up in value about $21,000 over a three-year period. So what I think is going to happen is there will be a future value of the property at $215,000. Yeah, that's a pretty nice growth, isn't it? And if you decided to sell this property over time, you could do it. You could sell this property at the end of 3 years. Now, there's a pretty significant gain on the back end. I'm not going to tell you what that is yet because I still have to talk to you about the principal pay down. Yeah, so this mortgage will have paid down approximately $9,400. $9,400 in a three-year period of time. Now, it's not a huge return on investment, but you got to add that back into all the other numbers. And there's the power of depreciation. See, what depreciation allows you to do is take paper losses on all the improvements that are in the property. You cannot depreciate land, but you can depreciate everything else. So you're going to take a write-off every month over a 27 and a half year period, because that's what the IRS says you're allowed to do in straight line depreciation. And when you do that, that depreciation is going to offset any income that you're making on the property. Now, this is very important because remember, I told you were getting a 20% return cash on cash, right? You were getting $5,500 a year in income for a $27,000 investment into the property. Because the depreciation that you will take on this property is actually a little bit more than the cash flow that is produced on this property, your returns are not diluted by taxes. Your returns stay at 20%. And then when you add everything all together, and let's say you sold this property after a three-year hold, when you take into account the cash flows that you received on that property, and after 3 years, you should have made about $16,500. When you take into account the principal pay down, when you take into account the fact the property has gone up at least 3.5% per year, when you take into account the fact that depreciation is offsetting the tax liabilities that you would normally have on the cash flows, when you take all of these things into consideration, you sell this property at the end of 3 years. Do you know what your return is at the end of 3 years? Well, when you sum everything up, it is a 212% return on investment. You heard me correctly, a 212% return on investment. I think that just blows the S&P 500 away. And you might be thinking, well, okay, S&P 500, what if you did it on the NASDAQ? I don't care what the NASDAQ did over the last 3 years. This piece of real estate is poised to blow them out of the water. And a 211% return, by the way, that doesn't include the original principal in the deal. I'm telling you, we have more than doubled our money. We've tripled our money in 3 years. You want to find out how to do it? Go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.